reign thou on. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior. Truth, church, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great
the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Am I right in saying that this is the first service of 2015? Am I right? Okay, just I'm going to check with you guys. So if I'm wrong, we'll all be wrong together. Praise the Lord. You know what? 2015, I would have never dreamed it. I would have never thought that we'd be here at this time. But you know what? In God's great timepiece and His great scheme and His great plan, we're right where we need to be. We're exactly where we need to be. We're still getting some green baked out of us. We're still getting some edges knocked off of us. Aren't you glad you are a masterpiece, but you're still being worked on tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight with all your heart. I want us to sing that chorus together one more time. You know, this past year we've been through a lot. We've seen a lot. We've experienced a lot. But we have seen growth. We have seen spiritual growth. And I'm so glad that God, this past year, has kept us by His grace. And I believe in one thing for sure. If He can take care of us in 2014, He's no less God in 2015. And I believe our walk with Him is going to get greater and greater and greater. And actually, we're going to walk out of here. Are you excited about it tonight? Are you excited about it tonight? Then sings my singing with all your heart. Your God tonight, church. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Amen. Well, it's an exciting time to be a believer. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready tonight to pray over these needs. I want to pray for a Carl Shepherd, a childhood friend who has leukemia. Brother Johnny Rigsby sends that in, so we certainly just want to commit that to the Lord tonight. Sister Rebecca, I don't know exactly how to pronounce that last name, Milan. I hope I got that close to right. Anyway, she says, first of all, I'd like to ask the church to pray for my brother who has terminal stage 4 lung cancer, that he can find peace and comfort in Christ. His name is Loyal, so we will remember that need tonight. Also, I have an unspoken request for myself that has me very stressed out. God knows all about it. I would like for the church to pray about this, that things can turn out for the good, and also that I will find inner peace and get close to God again myself, Sister Rebecca. So we just commit that need, those needs unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Brother Pete Lawson has an infection, cannot get rid of it after 2 rounds of antibiotics, so we want to remember him in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy, who is sick and unable to be in the service tonight. I want to pray for Sister Donna Pistole, who has a bladder infection, so let's pray for her need tonight. I want to pray for little Robbie Dixon, who has had a fever for the past week. Also for Kimberly Dixon, has had the flu and very exhausted from trying to take care of her family. So let's pray for those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Martha Ann Johnson says, my sister was admitted to the hospital with signs and symptoms of a heart attack and a congestive heart failure. The hospital is doing a lot of heart tests on her. I desire prayer for her. She has a handicapped son that is unable to take care of himself and needs his mother to take care of him. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of those situations. Brother Krause wants us to pray for Sister Laura tonight, several days with a migraine headache. So let's pray for her tonight. I want to pray for the family of Steve Kiker, my neighbor who passed away today. Sister Janet Barron sends that in. Also want to remember tonight the David Nunley family, that the Lord would just continue to hold them in his arms and love them and be mindful of them. Sister Pat, Brother Jeff here tonight with us in service. God bless you. Give these folks a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Certainly glad to see them, and we just want to hold them in our hearts and in our thoughts as they go through these days, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. All the flu and all the things that's going on in our assembly and in our neighborhood, well, let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of those folks as well. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand to our feet one more time just before Brother Wes comes. Let's sing that chorus together one more time. I wonder tonight, could you lift your hands to him and just in acknowledgement, acknowledge how great he has been in your life. How great things he's done for you. He's been wonderful, hasn't he? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. God bless you. Let's join our brother in prayer tonight. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I want to make a quick announcement. real quick before we pray over these requests. For nearly 3 years now, we've been fighting a battle. For the little girl you've seen us bring to church, Elizabeth Jace, the battle's over. Because of the prayers and because of the hand of God, she's now a member of our family. She's a Willis. The adoption. The adoption is signed, sealed, and delivered and irrevocable according to the court system. And from now on, she's my daughter. There's been so many people that have stood behind us and prayed for her little soul and for the situation. And I can't tell you how grateful my family and I are. I can't express it in words how much you all mean to us, what this body, coming together for us and on our behalf and going before the Lord and going to your knees for us has meant, and what it'll mean to her. And, you know, there's so many things I could say, but I just wanted you to know. I wanted to share that with you. We had to keep it kind of undercover until everything was completely official. We didn't want to cause any problems or stir anything up. So, but I just want to thank you so much. Y'all have been such a support to us, and we just really appreciate you. There's so much power in this body. God bless you. Let's bow our heads now. Father, we love you so much. It's so wonderful, Lord, that in this dark age with all this sickness and all these things coming against us and our families and our friends and our loved ones and our acquaintances, Lord, all these sicknesses, all these things, Lord, even death coming right to our doorstep, Lord, and trying to face us down, trying to break our faith and beat us down, Lord, it just can't happen. It won't happen because we have a living God who we stand before, who we kneel before, who we worship and we love and we adore. Lord, I see you at work through your body. I know that we all have people here who are sick and family that are sick and lost that we're facing, Lord. And I know that we're not facing it alone. You're not just with us, but you're in us. And Lord Jesus, we know that there's a down payment to be made for the resurrection. And Lord, that's what we're asking now as we lay these requests before you. There's drug resistant infections. There's fevers that have been resistant. There's people who are beat down and weak and tired from caring for their loved ones that are sick. There's situations here, Lord, that people don't realize how desperate they are unless they've lived it themselves. But Lord, we know that you're there. And we know that you care, and we know that you answer these prayers, and that you're not just aware of what's going on, but you're bearing these burdens with us, and that you're fighting through these sicknesses with us, Lord. We know, Father, that each day that we hold on to our faith and look to you, we will not be ashamed. Lord God, we just come together right now as a body and agree over these requests. And we raise a standard, Lord. You promised you would raise a standard. Well, your bride is a standard, Lord. We raise that standard tonight as we stand together in faith, believing that you're going to touch each and every one of these requests tonight, Lord. That you're going to bring faith where it's needed. That you're going to bring healing and strength where it's needed. That you're going to bring comfort to souls, Lord, that are experiencing loss and that are discouraged, Lord. We know that we can count on you. We know that we can count on you. It's not a matter of if or maybe you'll do this or maybe you'll do that, but it's a matter of when and how. And Lord, in us just being patient enough to wait for it and to hold on to it with all of our hearts. We love you, Father, and we just look forward to these requests and the testimonies that are going to come forth from them. We know that you'll never, ever, once let us down, Lord, as long as we plant all of our faith squarely on you. And Lord, we want to worship you tonight. We want to give you the love you deserve. We want to lift you up the way you deserve. We want to support this man of God as he comes out and speaks your word, Lord. We want to pull on your spirit. We want to know that when we leave here, we've heard from you. And Father, that's the thing that we come here for, and that's what we count on. And Lord, there's no darkness that this world or devil or anything else can put up against us that's going to diminish that. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray it'll be a blessing to those folks as well. Brother Matt Watkins is here tonight, the Lord willing, in the morning. Going to be bringing the word of the Lord to us, and I believe it's going to be really good, don't you? But now before that, we're going to create a real sweet, warm atmosphere in here that the Lord would be pleased with. Amen? Amen. You're going to sing and worship the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's try G.
There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Well, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me, He took away my heavy burden, and He gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real and I'm gonna shout it. Brother Joel, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me, He took away my heavy burden, and He gave me peace within. Say it again.
No, 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 no.
It's real and I'm going to shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Y'all forgive me on this one.
Heavy burden lifted, and the vow sins go. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I don't care who tells me salvation is not real.
I don't know it, Brother Louie.
Will they argue that we cannot feel? Lifting.
And the vow sins they go. I was there when it happened.
Oh, yes.
And I guess
I ought
to know. Set my soul.
The very moment He forgave me.
And He made me whole.
He took away my heavy burden.
And He gave me peace to live.
Within.
Can't make me doubt it.
It's real and I'm going to shout it. I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. Say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so.
I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know.
Jesus saved me.
Set my soul.
The very moment He forgave
me. And He made me whole.
He took away my heavy burden.
And He gave me peace
sweet peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real and I'm going to shout it. I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know.
Save my soul.
The very moment He forgave
and
me.
And He made me whole.
He took away my heavy burden. And He gave me peace with me. Satan can't make me doubt it.
No, He can't make me doubt it.
It's real and I'm going to
shout it.
I was there when it happened.
So
and I guess I ought to know.
course tonight, there's still power in the name of Jesus. I don't know exactly what key we do it in. Let's try G.
Amen. Let's sing that tonight. I believe we can do this.
You help me, buddy.
I'll try.
All right. I didn't mean
my best.
Didn't mean to throw you a curveball there a minute ago.
I can have them.
That's all right. I knew you could come out of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see if we can do this tonight.
Hit it out of the park. Praise God.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up.
Oh, there's an army rising up.
Oh, there's an army. She's rising up. It'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Now there's a bride that's rising up.
There's a bride, she's rising up.
Are you part of it tonight? Are you part of that bride? Chain, break every chain. I can hear the chains, they're falling. I can hear the chains, they're falling.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, sing it to him, church.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's still power in the name of Jesus. He'll break every chain. Oh, he'll break every chain. He'll break every chain. Break them chains.
Break
them chains.
Break every chain.
Break those chains. There's a mighty God among us. There's a
He'll break every chain.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing one more little chorus and I'm going to let you be seated tonight. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Is that right? Let's sing that tonight just before we change the order of the service. Gary's got me in G. Let's see if we can do that. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yeah.
all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search this whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. You know God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. Search this whole world over.
Oh, yes.
And no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time.
I want you to say it one more time. Well, our God is good. You know He is.
He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search this whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find. Yeah, He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. Whoa, God is good. You know He's good. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You could search this whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. God is good, yes, He is. He's good all the time. You know you can search the whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find. He's not good. He's good all the time.
Sing it again now. God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good, you know He is. Oh yes. You can search the whole world over. Amen. Just, oh, He's good all the time. Give Him a praise offering tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He's good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. I want to sing a song tonight. I believe He's coming back like He said, and I don't know what key. Y'all sing that in. High upon a mountain of transfiguration. You believe the Lord's coming back?
Yes, sir.
Why do you believe that?
Amen.
Because He said. And I'm a believer of His word.
Amen.
What the Lord says He will do. You believe that? Amen. Let's sing this together. High upon a mountain, oh, of transfiguration, the angel of the Lord declared it would be. He said, don't you stand there grieving. Oh, for the one that you see leaving, in like manner's coming back, like He said. Oh, I believe He's coming back, like He said. Oh, I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect the dead. Oh, do you believe that? In the twinkling of an eye, He's gonna split the eastern sky. I believe He's coming back listen to this now. Oh, I believe the time is nearing that we'll soon see His appearing. And this could be the hour. Oh, yes, this could be the day when the saints of every nation, they're gonna lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away. And I believe He's coming back. Oh yes, Lord. Oh, I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound, that it'll resurrect the dead. And in the twinkling of, oh, think about it, He'll split the eastern skies. I believe He's coming back like He said. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe that tonight. Hallelujah. That's my confidence. Amen. I'm not here to stay. I'm here to go. Amen. He's coming back, and I believe that I'm going when He comes. I ain't here to stay. As the song says, I've already made my reservations, and I have my wedding garments already on. This old world can't never hold me. Amen. Good to be here in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. Good to see everybody here. Amen. It's a pleasure to be here with you. That'll be all the music. Thank you. Amen. If you have your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 18, we'll take you straight to the Word tonight. Amen. It's a privilege to be here with you, and appreciate Brother Donnie for inviting us and having us up. And I brought my two boys, my oldest son Gideon and my youngest son Ethan with me. So Rachel is home with my two daughters, but glad they could come with me. Brings back good memories. When I was their age, sitting on that front row, and my dad was up here preaching. It's amazing how time flies. My goodness. Amen. Well, we want to have you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 18 there, and we'll just go straight to the Word tonight. Amen. We'd like to minister to you, and I sent a PowerPoint, brothers, if you have that, to the library. We can use that. Jeremiah chapter 18, we'd like to take a thought. The potter's hands, the potter's hands, just felt so inspired in this direction tonight, and just was seeking the will of the Lord and what He would have us say. I think it's been right at 2 years since I was here last, and so that means I have a lot to say. So, you know, you could say many good things, and I've said this a lot of places, but, you know, anything that I would preach would be really good. Amen, Brother Terry. You say, Brother Matt, well, that's awfully arrogant. Well, it ain't about arrogance. It's not because I'm a good preacher, but it's because the Word of God is good. Amen. Amen. It is very good. And it's a very deep, deep, deep well a minister can draw from. It's a rich Word. Amen. And so anything we could preach would be good. The Bible says that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Amen. But I don't just want to say something that's good, but I want the Lord to give me a word, as Solomon said, that's fitting in the right season. Amen. And so that's my prayer here tonight, that the Lord would say something to you, amen, that you could take, and it would make you a better Christian and would encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, we'll just begin reading. It says here in Jeremiah 18 verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was perfect in the hand of the potter. No. That ain't what the Bible says, is it? The vessel that he made of clay was without fault, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. Ain't that what the Scripture says? But is that what Jeremiah says? The Bible says the vessel that he made of clay, and this is a revelation that I think you and I need to get, was marred. It was marred in the hand of the potter.
So the Bible says, so he gave up. So he threw it out. So he said, now I'll find somebody else. Aren't you so glad that he said, so he made it again. It says, the vessel he made of clay, let's read it again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build it, to build and to plan it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And he says, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Amen. Ecclesiastes, if you have your Bible, we'll just turn straight over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This is Solomon speaking here in a very familiar scripture, but I just want to take context out of one verse. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, my apologies, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon says to everything, somebody say everything.
Everything.
To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. And notice this where we want to draw our emphasis, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to break down and a time to build up. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that we have here today. Lord, and we just need your help right now, oh God. Lord, I've realized the shallowness and the frailty of man's words. Lord, that I could say great things here tonight that would make some laugh. Maybe some, Lord, it would tickle their ears and they would enjoy what I say. Father, Lord, but man's words are so shallow that even if I was to say good things, Lord, even in only just a few months down the road, if one was to question what did the brother speak on, maybe they wouldn't even remember, Lord, the scripture I even read or the thought that I took. For, Lord, that's the shallowness of man's words. They can only penetrate so deep. Lord, but your words, when you speak, Father, they penetrate beyond the ears and beyond the emotion. Lord, but they go down to the very soul of the person and they change them, Father. So if you would speak a word here tonight, Lord, is my prayer. I believe it would have an eternal impact in glory, an eternal benefit, Father. Lord, and that's our prayer as we raise our hands tonight and surrender to your will, Lord. I pray that you would come and be the speaker, be the hearer, Father. Take every spirit, Lord, under your control for the glory of God. We ask it now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Genesis chapter 32, if you have your Bible, we'll have you turn there if you just want to hold your place. Genesis chapter 32, and I know we have the screen, but if you have an actual Bible there, if you would turn. Genesis 32. It's an amazing thought here, the potter's hands, and we're going to get to it just here in a moment. But just to lay a foundation, I ministered a thought, and if you have that PowerPoint, brother, ministered a thought here just a few weeks back on mastering the thought of human ability. Brother Branham says this in Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. He says the important thing, one of the important things, that's in that PowerPoint if you have it, that we must master. Now listen to what he says here. The important thing that we must master. Now remember this, and especially you young preachers and lay members alike, there's one thing we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. We have to master the thought of human ability. Now, if I'm going to hear the prophet of God say, listen up, listen close. If we ever expect to fulfill God's desire in my life, I want to know, what is that, Lord? And Brother Branham says, this is what we've got to master. We've got to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, uh-oh. If we ever get to a spot to where we can, if we ever get to a spot where we think we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. So this is the dilemma of the human being when he's born in a fallen flesh. It's the dilemma that you face and that I face, is that no matter how much we say we surrender to God and that we give God control and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, yet if we'd all be honest, one of the hardest things for us to do as human beings is to really put it in God's hands and trust God all the way from the cradle to the grave. And if we'd be honest tonight, we would all admit it is a lot more comfortable for us to have control of everything that happens and doesn't happen in our life. We're all fine. We're all doing good. Temperature's fine as long as we have the steering wheel. But as soon as something comes up in our life and God, you have to give control to God, and God says, give me the wheel, child. You can't control this. It's our greatest problem that we face. We can't master the thought that it's not up to us. It's not our ability. It's not our own training or our education. It's us as marred vessels in the hand of a great potter. Amen. And outside of the greatness of the potter and his design in our life, we are nothing. Amen. As the song says, without him, I could do nothing. Until we get this revelation, friends, that you are nothing more than marred clay in the hand of a great potter. And let me tell you this, that potter has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has an exact direction for you to follow. And the direction God has for you is different than it is for me. It's different than your brother and your sister. God has a specific individual purpose. And your goal in this life is to take the nature of a lamb and say, I surrender my rights. I surrender my will. I surrender what I want out of life. And I want to surrender to the divine order of the potter. Amen. Oh, and we say amen, but it's one of the hardest things we can do to really lay down our dreams and ambitions and hopes and plans and surrender to a greater purpose. Oh, but I remind you of the words of David when he said, Lord, the plans you have made for me are perfect. Notice what David says, not the plans. I had plans in my life. I wanted to do this and live here and go do this and grow up to be this. All the way from a little boy, we have ambitions and plans and dreams. Where we'll live, what we'll do. But God says, child, hold on just a minute. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And you're part of a greater plan, bigger than what you can see on this horizontal scale. There's a great vertical scale, because you don't see the end from the beginning, but I do. And I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. Don't let nobody tell you. Don't let the devil deceive you. God has a plan for you, friend. Hallelujah. And let me say this, you'll never be satisfied until you find that place of God's perfect order for your life. Until you find that perfect place, that's the only place God can bless you. You'll live for God, you'll serve God, you'll go to church, but you'll always live without the greatest blessings in your life, because you haven't found the center of God's will for your direction in life. Oh, do we have that, brothers? If you have that, put it on the screen. He says, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. He says in the same message, we try to make our weaknesses excuses. We want to tell how big we are, how great we are. I think that's one of the things God gave me the text for, was to get that out of our mind.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. There's little things that we do, and that's what we've come to church for, is to find out where our faults is and the things that we might better ourselves. If we come to church for any other objective than this, I'm afraid we won't get too much of coming out of church. We must come to find our weaknesses. We must come to find our weaknesses. Let me take that further. You must come to find how really weak you really are. And until we really get a revelation of this, we're still living by our own strength and our own ability. But the prophet says we come so that we know our weaknesses. Find our bad places. How little we are. And put our trust in somebody that's strong. Hallelujah. I said, find out how little we are and put our trust in somebody that's strong. I'm so glad that there is somebody who is strong. Oh, and when I'm weak and I can't go on and I can't take another step, there's a mighty arm I can lean upon. When I'm weak and I'm fallen, there is a great strong God who I've put my trust in. And the Bible says, he who started a work inside of you is faithful to finish the work he started. And let me say this, friend, it is his work, not your work. It is his plan, not your plan. You didn't put a desire for God down inside of you. You didn't put some thirst for God down inside of you. But God started something, and the devil can't stop it, and you can't stop it. God will finish what he started. He says, and put our trust in somebody that's strong. So wait, Brother Matt, this is so opposite of the way we're natured, because natured, the way we come natured is self-reliance. I'm a man. You know, I gotta be strong. I've gotta be the rock of Gibraltar, unmoving, unchanging. I can take anything. You put any strong force winds on me, I can stand and take the heat. God can't use you until you get that out of your mind. What you need to get a revelation of tonight is that you're just marred clay. Me and you are just marred clay. Imperfect clay. And outside of the grace of God in our lives, we would be nothing today. Oh, but the problem is when we think we're somebody. Isn't that the problem? We think we're somebody and we can really do it, and we've got a lot of pride about ourselves. Brother Branham said that's one of the biggest hindrances to the gospel of Jesus Christ is pride. One of the biggest hindrances, because we think we're somebody. You know, we're the bride of Christ, and so we preach, and you get people to start thinking, man, I'm really something, and I got big muscles, you know, I'm great and I'm strong. God says no. Brother Branham says, you don't come to church for that. You come to find how little you are and how much you need Jehovah. And I'm sorry, friend, I lost my pride. I'm not afraid to tell you, I need him every day, every hour, every moment. I need Jehovah. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, but when we have weaknesses, now listen to this. He says, there's so many of us that likes to testify and things like that where he says that we're insufficient. Now notice the change here. And therefore we make that an excuse. I have no education. I have no ability. I'm unable to do this. And if you keep that up and do that in that way, keep going like that, you can't amount to anything. But the very thing that we make excuses by our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. He waits for us to get to that condition so that he can use us. We take the excuse and say, well, I can't do this. You know, I'm not good enough. You know, I never amount to anything, Brother Madden. You know, I was raised this certain way, and we make excuse after excuse. Brother Madden says, you never amount to anything with that kind of attitude. So you see the balance the prophet of God brings in this. It's not about saying, well, I'm just nothing. I'll never be anybody. And, you know, I'm just all wowsies. Brother Jewel says, wowsie, wowsie, woo. Listen, friend, it ain't about that. It's about saying, I am nothing. I am weak. But in my weakness, He is made strong. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Hallelujah. He says God waits for us to get in that condition. He says, well, I can't do this. I'm insufficient. And God takes that very thing to do the job with. That's the reason He chooses us, because we're in that condition.
Amen.
What condition? You mean when God's going to look for a great Superman to do great things for His kingdom, He doesn't look for a man who just stands, you know, with his shoulders straight back? Big, strong, tall, as Saul was, the son of Kish, stood head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
No, God chooses a little scrawny, curly-headed shrimp named David.
Amen.
This is who God's heroes are.
Yeah.
Oh, the world perverts it and makes Superman and Batman and all these great, big, muscle-bound men who can do anything and they have superpowers. God says, no, that's not who I'm looking for. You know who I'm looking for? Weaklings.
Yeah.
I'm looking for weaklings. I'm looking for people who realize that without me, they're nothing. I'm looking for people who realize without Christ, I am nothing and can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things. He says, because we're in that condition. He says, we find out, just we've been reading, that weakness and rejections. We find out that those people who are the weakest. I love this. Those people who are the weakest and the rejected by the outside world is God's heroes. That conquer up in the front lines, take those who feel themselves unworthy. He says, Moses, in awful shape, now I can use you when you realize that you're nothing. Now come up here by this burning bush. I want to send you down. And Brother Branham says, God, give us some more of that kind. Give us some more weaklings. Wow. Boy, if I would have prayed that, everyone would have laughed. Give us some more weaklings. That's what God's looking for. Give us some more weaklings. That's what we need. Some weaklings. You see, that was Jacob's entire problem in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob's entire problem was he had this so backwards, as so many of us do, when we don't realize our weakness and how deep our weakness really goes.
Yeah.
Jacob was living on his name, off the reputation of who he was. Jacob did everything himself. He conquered himself. Oh, he loved God. The Bible says he did. He feared God from even a young boy. Scripture says that. But his problem was, is Jacob did everything on his own. His name means supplanter,
yeah.
Deceiver. Shyster? He was cunning. He always thought he could outsmart the situation. He was always smarter than it. Jacob's a strong man. Walking up on his own 2 feet. Could stand by his own strength of his own back. Was a hard working man. And Jacob comes to this river. And the Bible says he sends his family over. I'm sure we all know the story well. Sends his family over. Ain't that amazing? What a big, strong, great man he was. Here comes Esau. And he's scared for his life. Ran from Esau. Now he goes to Laban. Now he's running from Laban. And so he's going to go to Esau and he says, well, I want to approach Esau and, I got to do this smart. Here he is using his own wit and his own wisdom because that's his name. That's how he's living. And so what does he do? He says, some of y'all go up on the left side and some of y'all go on the right side. And whichever one of y'all don't die, that's the way I'll take. And he sends his wife and kids in front of him. Wow, what a strong, big, tough man. Jacob finds himself, the Bible says he finds himself alone. Notice in Genesis chapter 32, it says Jacob found himself here in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone. Let me find my place here. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This is not your ordinary Bible verse that you read every day. I mean, even by biblical standards, this is pretty amazing. Especially when Ephesians 6 says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. but against principalities and evil spirits and wickedness in high places. But yet here we find Jacob, who's living his life, going about every single day, and now he finds himself in this great wrestling match. And the Bible says he was left alone, and there wrestled a man from him, and it's quite a match. It says, wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And so he says, let me go. Now this is a man that has, you want to talk about a man who is a strong man. Even after the sinew, the Bible says, shrank from his thigh, and the angel of the Lord reaches over and breaks his leg. Even after that, Jacob is still holding on, because now he knows he's not going to win the fight, but he's praying, still bless me. Please give me a blessing. And the angel says, let me go. For it's the morning is rising. I mean, they went round after round after round after round. I would have loved to have been there to watch this great fight. You want to talk about a prize fight, man? You're coming in contact and encounter with God himself. Little did Jacob know he was wrestling the potter. Little did he know this potter had formed him, as David said, from a little baby. He made him the way that he was. He made him, the Bible says, the creature didn't come into this world willingly. It said the creature was subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by the reason of him who created him that way. What does that mean, Brother Matt? God made you the way that you are. God made you that way. God put those little quirks and things and your idiosyncrasies and little personality traits that get on some people's nerves, but yet other people love you for them. God made you that way, brother. God made you that way, sister. Brother Branham says those weaknesses God put in your flesh are the very weapons he gives you to fight the devil with. Because those weaknesses made put in the right hands, put in the right plan with the right purpose and the right objective and the right goal. Let me say this. God made you as clay was in the hands of the potter. And notice what's amazing about the potter is that only the potter has the plan. The clay doesn't have the plan. But long before the potter starts to form the vessel, long before he starts to apply pressure, long before that, he has it all thought out. Let me tell you something. God is not aimlessly working on you without a plan and without a purpose. But before you were born, God had a plan and he had a purpose. And let me say this to you. Take courage. Everything that happened to you in your life from the time you were a child, when you were a teenager, and you've said, why did that happen? Why did this go that way? Let me say this. David said, the plans you've made for me are perfect. Whether I understand them or not, or have an answer to everything that happened, God was organizing and orchestrating my life as the great potter, because there was a purpose in all of it. Oh, and I know that's hard for some of us, because we went through hard things and things we don't understand and things we look back and say, brother, that there's no way God could have been in that. There's no way God had his hand in my life. Well, ask Brother Joseph that when he was down in a prison and down in a cave. You think Joseph could see the hand of God in his life? All Joseph could see was the horizontal picture. Little did he know, God seen the vertical picture. God seen Joseph here, growing up with his brethren, going and being sold out. Then he goes and he's in Potiphar's house. Then he goes and he messes the situation with Potiphar's wife. Then he's in prison. And God sees the entire plan of Joseph coming out, being raised up as king, all to preserve Judah. That's the whole purpose, Joseph. But Joseph didn't know that when he's down in a cave. And brother, you might be in a cave today and you say, I don't see how God could be in this. I don't see how this has a plan and this has a purpose. But take courage. There is no accidents or mistakes that God makes. He does all things perfect and he makes all things beautiful. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. Amen. Those things that happened to you. Let me tell you something, friend. God was watching over you when you were 2 years old and when you were three and you couldn't control things in your life. You couldn't control what happened to you. He watched you when you were a teenager and turned 13 years old. He watched you when you were 18. He watched you when you were 20. And all along, this great potter has a plan and he has a purpose and he has a vision. And all God needs you to do is stay on his will. God says, if you just stay on my will, I've got a plan and I've got a purpose.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
But the problem is, just like Jacob, we don't like the will of God always. The W-H-E-E-L will. We don't like that will because sometimes it feels like I'm just going in circles, spinning around and around and around. Anybody ever felt like that? Sometimes we don't like that will. And if we'd be honest, some of us have stepped off that will. Lord, I know you have a plan and I know you have a purpose and I know all that, but you know, I'm 18, I'm busy. I got plans and I got things and you know, I want to do this and I want to go there. And you know, if I serve the Lord, if I commit to God and surrender, I'm going to lose all those dreams and all those hopes and all those ambitions. Maybe some hardship in your life has caused you to step off the will of God. God's here to tell you tonight, I've got a plan for you, child. Get back on my will. Get back on my will, Jacob. And Jacob was a strong man, running, doing his own thing, living by his own strength, living by his own plans. Little does he know, he's about to come to that season that God says, to everything there's a season, there's a time to break. I know we don't like to hear that, and it ain't popular preaching, and I don't get a lot of amens and shouting and people doing Jericho marches around the church. But there's a time to break down. And sometimes God has to break you. Let me say this. There's been great men of God throughout every age who's done and accomplished great, mighty things for God, but not one of them was exempt from the hand of God breaking them. Great sorrow and great suffering. We try to dodge it. We try to sidestep it. We'd be honest. We want glory. We want great things from God. But boy, we dodge and we sidestep suffering. We sidestep turmoil and sorrow. Let me say this. None of you will miss your Gethsemane. For you all have a Gethsemane. Do you know that? We try to sidestep it, move around it. Oh, Jacob wanted the birthright. Jacob wanted great things from God. Jacob wanted the plan of God for his life. But he just didn't want to come God's provided way.
That's right. Amen.
And so God had to bring him to this season of breakdown. This is what David says here in Psalms 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. Notice what it says in Psalms 34, 18. The Lord is close to, are you ready? Uh-oh, we just heard the Lord is close to. I want to know. I want the Lord to be close to me. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And saves those who are crushed in spirit. It says in 147, Psalms 147, it says, he heals the broken hearted and binds up their wounds.
Amen.
Oh, listen, friend, we hear sermons preached and from a little boys, we hear stories about God. And that's how we learn and get our perception of who God is. That's how we react to God. Do you know that? That's how you react to God. It's how you're taught that God is. I take a child who's taught that God's some legalistic man up there who's waiting for every moment that he's going to mess up. And the minute he messes up, he's going to slap him. You take a child who's taught that entire life that God is this great big angry man up there waiting just to kick you down and mess you up. You preach on the grace of God and that child doesn't even know how to receive that. Preach on the love of God. Sort of sits there.
Amen.
You know, doesn't know how to take it, doesn't know how to receive it. You take a child who's raised and a mom and dad tells him, oh, live any old way. God don't care. God's just a dotty old grandpa up there. Don't care how you live, how you dress, how you act. And then when a preacher gets up and preaches on how you should live, freezes up. Why? Because that's his perception of God. That's what he's perceived God as being. You know, I heard a man say one time that we don't know how to embrace grace. You ever tried to hug a person who doesn't know how to hug? Man, Brother Jim, that has to be the most uncomfortable moment you could possibly go through as a human being. Hello, somebody. Maybe y'all all know how to hug up here. I heard this man saying this. I thought it was hilarious. He said, you try to hug somebody who doesn't know how to hug. Watch, as soon as you go to hug them, they don't know what to do. And they pat you on the back. And then you lose the embrace and you sort of walk away going, man, what in the world was that all about? But you ever hug somebody who really knows how to hug? I mean, they just swallow you. But this is how people react sometimes with how the perception they've had of God. And you preach on them that God loves you and God has grace for you. And they don't know how to react and receive. Right. Let me give you a message. Just surrender. Amen. Just surrender.
Amen.
This is exactly what happens. God says, I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering. This is who God is. God says, I want to reveal to you my heart. I want to tell you who I really am and your relationship to me. Jeremiah, you must go down to the potter's house because I have something I must express to mankind, to my family. There's a thought that I have upon my heart and I'm going to baptize you with this burden, Jeremiah, and you're going to express it to my people. Because they've got to know that this relationship that I have for them is not like a mason. God could have said, Jeremiah, go down to the mason's house. But God didn't choose the mason. He could have said, Jeremiah, go down, you know, to the ironsmith's house. But is that who God chose? God says no. Because a mason uses tools. And an ironsmith uses tools. But God says, when I want to relate to humanity and to my family, my relationship with them, there's only one tradesperson who resembles this perfectly, and that's a potter. Because a potter doesn't use tools, but a potter uses his bare hands, and he touches the clay, and he molds the clay. And God says, this is my relationship with you. Don't ever forget it. I am a potter. You're the clay. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You are my prized possession. Hallelujah. And that pressure that you feel, it's just my hands. Because I'm trying so hard to form you into the plan and purpose that I have. You see, I have a blueprint and I'm trying, and that pressure that I'm applying is for that purpose alone. The pressure I'm applying that you feel and you've understood to be the devil, and you think that's, you know, it's because you messed up or you did this or you did that. No, child. No. It's just me, the potter, and I'm applying pressure to you. And as long as you, this is what the scripture says here in Jeremiah chapter 18. God says, if the clay, if it turned from its evil, God says, I will repent. Is that what the scripture says? I will repent of the evil that I thought to do. Go look up that word repent. You know what that word repent means? It doesn't mean repent like me and you use repent. Because God doesn't repent. But that word repent literally means to breathe a sigh of relief. That's what God says. He says, when I go to apply pressure in your life, and I feel the clay just melt in my hands, God says, then I breathe a sigh. Oh. That means I can mold them. But God says, if I feel resistance, I have no other choice, Jacob, than to break you.
Come on now. Good preaching.
Are you here tonight?
Amen.
In other words, this is a lesson Jeremiah learned at the potter's house. It's amazing because God says to Jeremiah, go down and I'll cause thee to hear my words. Yet God doesn't ever say anything, but it's more what Jeremiah is going to witness.
as he watches this potter and he watches this clay. And the Bible says, I watched, Jeremiah says, and the vessel he made of clay was marred. It was imperfect. It had imperfections. So the potter made it again. He broke the vessel down. He crushed it and mattered it back down. And he started to reform it and to rebuild it and to replace it. This is exactly what God was going to do to Jacob when he met the potter. As God says, Jacob, you're going to be great. Your name's not going to be Jacob. It's going to be Israel. I'm going to make an entire nation out of you, Jacob. But first, I've got to get you in my hands. First, there's got to be some breaking of your own will. First, there's got to be some breaking of your strength and your ability. Hello, somebody. First, there's got to be a breaking down and mastering of the thought that you think you can do it, Jacob, because you can't.
Amen.
God says, first, there's got to be pressure. And this is true of our lives, every single one of us. Let me say this, those circumstances that are in your life and you can't understand them and you say, why is this happening and why did this pressure come? Let me say this, those circumstances are the will of God, the will of God. And you're turning. And let me say this, those pressures, that will is to bring you under the pressure of the potter's hands. And if you don't resist, that's the key. Don't resist. Don't get an attitude. Don't stop coming to church and get down and say, oh, wowsie, wowsie, woo. No, don't resist the hand of the potter. Melt in the hands of the potter and say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender all. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. If you don't resist, if your own will doesn't conflict with His will. That's the problem. So many times. It's our own personal will, what we want, what we dream of, what we hope for, gets in the way of what God's plan is.
That's
exactly what was happening to Jacob. You believe that? If our own will doesn't spoil the will of God by our murmuring, grumbling, complaining, or feeling resentful. Some of your greatest battles that you face in your life will be between you and God. Some of the greatest battles that Jacob was going to face was not going to be between him and somebody else, but it was actually the battle that would happen between him and the struggle he would have with God. And sometimes the greatest struggles in your life is understanding God's will and the why did this happen and why would God do that. And so many people get resentful.
That's right.
And if they're not careful, the root of bitterness.
That's right.
And we lash out at family. You watch wives lash out at husbands when really their struggle's not with the husband. But they're struggling with something God has done in their life. I'm going to preach whether y'all sit there or not. Hallelujah. Some of their greatest problems. You fight with husband. Get mad. Get angry. Oh, that wife ain't mad at everybody else. That husband's not mad. He may look like it. You may take it out and vent to everybody else. But really, if you'd be honest. If you'd be real honest, there's a resentfulness. And you're having trouble struggling with God. This was Jacob's biggest battle he would ever face was between him and God. Because when that pressure of that will starts to come into our life and God says, no child, that's not what I planned for you. I know you want that so bad. And I know it's so tantalizing to the flesh and you want it, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You can't have it because I've got the aerial view. You've only got the horizontal view. I know what damage that'll bring to your children if you bring that into your home. Don't do it. I know what damage that'll bring for you if you take that job. I know you want it. It's a big salary, but I know what it'll do to you. And our own personal will. We resent and we resist. One of the hardest things is to accept the pressure of the potter. But let me say this. It's only when the will of the clay lets go, that the pressure is relieved and the vessel begins to take shape. And something that started so insignificant and small, and you think it'll never be anything, and it looks so helpless. And the right hands, God begins to make a vessel of honor and of glory. If there's resistance, if the human will, like some imperfection in the clay, chooses something other than what the divine order of the potter has called, and what the divine potter has in mind, the potter can do nothing else. No, don't forget this. If he feels resistance, God says, I have no choice but to break you. I have no choice but to smash it down and start over again, to make it another vessel which suits my heart and my mind. This was the lesson God was teaching Jeremiah. And Jeremiah watches as he's the potter. And God says to them, I'll repent if I just feel resistance. And so Jeremiah watches as this vessel the potter takes, and he starts to form it, and he starts to make a vessel. Now this is exactly what was happening to Jacob. As the Bible says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him from the breaking of the day. Notice this goes round after round after round. Round two, round three, they're struggling, and they're wrestling, and they're fighting, and they're going back and forth, and Jacob's wrestling with God. Oh, little does he know, the potter has his hands, and he's grappling with the mighty potter, and the potter is saying, Jacob, just surrender, Jacob. Just surrender, Jacob. Amen. And notice what God says. Tell me, I pray thee, your name. Uh-huh. Now let me ask you something. Do you think God is ignorant of Jacob's name? You think God really would lose this match? God, who could annihilate him, like turning back into powder with just the thought in his mind, could annihilate Jacob from the face of the earth? Jacob thought he was going to win, man. Because that's how he's lived his entire life, winning. That's how he's lived his entire life, strengthened, outsmarting, and outwitting by his own human ability. The Bible says here in Genesis 32, look in your Bible. It says that he says, tell me, I pray thee, verse 29, thy name. Now God knows Jacob's name. But Jacob has to say it himself. Out of his own lips, he has to say, my name is Jacob.
Yes, amen.
Shyster.
Yes.
Deceiver.
Yes.
Have you contended with God in so much that you got down on your knees and you've been able to admit, I am nothing? If I'd be really honest with them myself, I am only good at one thing, and that's breaking things.
Come on now.
Because that's all you're good at. That's all I'm good at, is breaking stuff. All we can do is break relationships. All we can do is break people's hearts and break people's feelings. That's all me and you are good at. But God says, don't worry. I'm a potter, and I'm good at not breaking, just breaking. But I'm good at building. And what you've broke, I can build. And what you've messed up, I can rebuild. Why do you think Jesus was born a carpenter's son and learned carpentry? Because he was going to be a master builder. He was going to be a man who had the skill and the ability. When you don't have the skill and you mess things up and you break things in your life, God says, don't worry, child. Give it to me. I'll fix it. I'll fix it, because that's what I love doing. I love taking your mess and making something great. God says, I heal the brokenhearted. That's what gives me pleasure. I bind up their wounds. I'm a physician. That's why I came into the world. I don't hang with the rich. I don't hang with the great popular people. I came to the sick. I came to the needy. The world doesn't need a physician, but the needy, the people who will say, I need God more than ever before. I need God. God says, this is who I feel and fulfill my purpose. Hallelujah. Oh, is there somebody here tonight that can say that with a hand raised and say, Lord, I need you every moment, every hour, every minute. I need a potter. I need a carpenter who can rebuild the message in my life.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Jacob, the Bible says, my name is, Jacob begins to think of his life. My name is Jacob. God says, I love this. He says, tell me, I pray. And he says, my name is Jacob. Wherefore is thou to ask after my name? And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name. No, let me back up here. He says in verse 27, and he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, verse 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Your plan and your purposes was going to be Jacob. That's exactly what you would have died as. You would have died as Jacob. As Brother Branham said, you know, I'll just be a bum. Brother, God says, well, that's exactly what you'll be. If you live by your own wants and your own desires, you'll be a bum on the street. Jacob, if you keep living the way that you're wanting to live, that's all you'll ever amount to. You'll only have to look at the successes of your own labors and toils. But if you'll just step on my will, I'll make you Israel. I'll bring you to my plan and my purpose for your life. Notice this. God says, your name shall not be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, I love this, thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed.
Praise the Lord.
Hold on a minute. What do you mean Jacob won? Oh, I got to dispute this. Who in the world was the judges calling this fight? You mean the man walking out with a broken leg is the winner? Hold on a minute. Jacob is wrestling, gets his leg broke. And then he stands up and they raise his hand. Ding, 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 ding. Tap in. Israel. What would you do if I came in here limping? Man walks in here limping. You see, you put this on the modern Christian scene. If you were to walk into a building with a broken leg and you walked with the rest of your life with a limp and someone looked at you and said, brother, what happened?
Yeah.
And tears begin to well up in your eyes. And you'd say, I prevailed with God.
Yeah.
I had an encounter with God and he healed me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Wait a minute. You mean the man that leaves with a broken leg is the winner of the contest? For the rest of Jacob's life, the Bible says here, let's finish it. You have prevailed. And he says here in verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. This is the picture that Jacob, before Jacob stood with his own strength of his back, his shoulders stretched out. And now he walks out, slumped over. For the rest of his life, he'll walk with a limp. But let me say this. This limp is the sign that God's healed him. Hallelujah. I said this limp is the sign that God has healed him. Why do you think the scripture says the sun rose upon him? What does the Bible say? The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And now Jacob walks out as Israel and he's holding upon his thigh. What is it? God has given Jacob the healing that he needed. Because the healing that Jacob needed was to walk with a limp. To walk the rest of his life, it would be a markation to where everyone who looked at Jacob knew he's changed. He's not the same man anymore. Because he doesn't walk after the strength of his own ability or the strength of his own power, but he walks after the strength of the beloved. He walks leaning upon the arms of Jesus. He is nothing outside of the saving grace of God. He is now Israel, a prince with God, because he prevailed. Hallelujah. This is exactly. I know that that's so backwards. We think healing is having a broken leg and God healing it. But do we realize sometimes the healing that God brings to you is not wholeness in the sense of a perfect body or wellness and perfect health, But sometimes the sign of God's love and healing is the thorn He leaves in your flesh. The Apostle Paul, I love this. Brother Branham says this. Can I have just 5 or 6 more minutes here? I love this. Prophet of God says he was in jail. He asked the Lord to heal him. This is Paul. And he consoled him 3 times. But what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient, Paul. Paul said, then I'll glory in my infirmities. Except I would be exalted above the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me. Now listen close. There was given to me. You know what given means? A gift. Now don't get this backwards. The devil didn't give him this. He didn't get this from the grab bag of life. It wasn't misfortune. But God said, Paul, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you something from me. What is it, God? Oh, I could think of, if I was going to get anything for Christmas, boy, I'd love for God to give me a gift. Oh boy, if God was to come to my birthday party, my mom and dad gives me great things, but oh boy, if God was to come, man, I'd have a great big car, a great big house, 10 grand in my bank account. Oh, I couldn't imagine what God would give me. Paul says, God gave me a present. God gave me a gift. You want to know what it was? There was given to me a messenger of the devil. A thorn in the flesh that buffets me. Job knew what this was like. Job says, God has turned me over. Notice what Job says about God. All was well with me. In other words, Job says, this was my testimony. Man, life was going smooth. Oh man, I was just living good. Everything was fine. But he shattered me. He seized me by the neck. Oh. And crushed me. He made me his target. His archers surrounded me without pity. Not the devil. Now don't get this backwards. You see, so many times in our life we confuse the hand of the devil with the hand of the potter.
Right?
Because let me say this, my brother and my sister. God puts more value on your soul than He does your health. And if God has to bust and break your health to save your soul, be prepared. God will break your health. He will bust your health and put you on your back. He puts more value on your soul than He does your health.
Amen.
And let me say this. He puts more value on your soul than He does your wallet.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, yes. And if God has to break the bank and bankrupt you and bust your finances to get your soul,
yes,
that potter will break your wallet.
He'll do it. Amen.
Because He has a plan and He has a purpose. And I'm so glad He does. And I'm so glad He is a man who cares more about my needs than my wants. He's a man who cares more about what I want in my life and what I need in my life. There was given to me a messenger of the devil. Buffet me. Brother Adam said, buffet means blow after blow. Like the ship on the sea, you know. The waves buffet at sea. Blow after blow. He would get better and then he'd have it again. Then he'd get better and then he'd have it again. He said, Lord, what's the matter? You don't take this away from me. Could you imagine what would your faith do if you came to this altar with some disease and the ministers laid anointing oil on you and laid hands on you and God healed you of it only 2 months later to get the same thing. And then God healed you of it again. Then you went right back to this. Where would your faith be?
Think about it.
Brother Branham said this is what happened with Paul. He'd get better for a little while and then it'd come right back on him. He said, he'd get better. And God said, Paul said, why don't you take this away from me? And the Lord gave him his answer. My grace is sufficient.
Amen.
You know what that word sufficient means? The most clear word we have in English? The word enough. I love that. Makes it so simple. Paul, my grace is enough. That's all you need, Paul. Why? Why, Lord? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? My grace is all you need to know. Because explaining it here ain't going to do you any good. But by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, by and by, we'll understand it better. Right now, all you need to do is focus on one thing. Get on the center of God's will and serve God. And don't resist the pressure, but say, God, no matter what you have planned, no matter what purposes you've had, let me surrender my will to your great divine purpose. Hallelujah! Oh, I know when I get through this trial and when I get over this old Brother Matt, I know when I get through this trouble, I'm going to be stronger. What if God's bringing you through that to make you weaker? Hello, somebody. Sometimes the purpose of a trial is not to make you stronger. Sometimes it's to break you down, to make you realize, I need Him every minute, every hour. Every second, I need you, Lord.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's true.
I love this example, and I'm just going to close. Feel led just to stop here. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you build me? Where's the place of my rest? For all those things that my hand made, all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. That word contrite means lamed. Lamed. And God says, to this man will I look, not the great strength and the strong, but the weak. To this man will I look. I bind up the brokenhearted. I bind up their wounds. I'm close to the brokenhearted. You know the scripture where it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Bible says all the eyes of the temple was fixed upon him as he took the scroll and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled. The latter part of that scripture was what? Not just to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, but to bind up the brokenhearted. To set at liberty those that are bound. God says, this is why I'm here. This is my heart. This is how I find fulfillment. It's not when you don't need anything, child, but when you need me more than ever before, I step up to the plate because now it's my time to take your weakness and make my strength known in your life. Because sometimes the greatest weapon God can give you, my brother, let me say this before we close. Brother, go ahead and get that video ready if you could. One of the greatest weapons God can give you. As you say, well, Brother Matt, I'm facing so much and so much hardness. Sometimes the greatest weapon is your weakness. As this clay was, the Bible says that this potter would go, and I'm just going to close here. This potter would go and he'd have a servant, and he would take that servant, as we notice pottery, and I'm not an expert, but I've studied on it. One of the amazing things about pottery is that pottery is one of the only trades that exists today that has almost not changed at all since biblical times. That ain't no accident, friends. What God chooses is timeless, it's ageless, it doesn't get old. And pottery has almost, the only thing they've really changed nowadays is a spinning electric wheel, where before the potter would sit there with his foot and he'd spin that great wheel. And that potter would take that, if you could get that ready, go up and pull that over there, brother. Don't play it yet, but just pull it over. The potter would take that clay, and first he would have a servant, and the servant would go into the field, and that servant was trained to go find clay for this potter. Just pause that if you could, brother. Go back. The servant was trained to go and find clay. And what was amazing is that this servant knew, as the potter had trained him, the master potter, the servant worked for him, he knew he couldn't just go into any old field and pick up dirt and bring it back. You see, not all dirt is usable to the potter.
Amen.
But there's only a certain type of soil that works. There's only a certain type of soil, oh hallelujah, that God has put in the earth. There's only a certain one that has the quality and the potential to be used. And so that potter would go into the earth and he would look and he would find that certain kind of soil that didn't have this, you know, a certain kind of clay that didn't have too much of this chemical and too much of this mineral. It was just perfect for the clay. Now it looked like a lump of nothing. I mean, really, if you'd be honest, a lump of clay looks like a lump of nothing. Like, how in the world is that ever going to be anything or turn out to be anything? Oh, you just be patient and you just wait, because put it in the right hands, it'll be something great. And this servant goes and he takes that piece of clay, and the Bible, the scripture says that Jeremiah goes down and he watches. Now this potter already has it, but this servant would go into the field and he would take that clay and he would pick it up out of the ground. Prophet of God said that was justification. You didn't choose God. God chose you. You couldn't reach up, so he reached down. And this servant would reach down and he'd grab that piece of clay. And he would get it together and he'd take it back to the potter, and that servant would take it and he'd start to knead it with his feet and knead it with his toes, and he would push out all the things that were not usable.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
You see, you were born with certain things that God can't use. And until you come through sanctification, God can't use you. But sanctification burns out the dross and it burns out the sin out of your life. And it gets all those things that God says you need to let die.
Amen.
Because whoever's in Christ has got to be a new creature. All things are passed away. Hello, somebody. All things are become new. And so this potter's best servant would begin to sanctify that clay and get it just right for the potter. And then he'd take it back to the potter. And now this potter, as you see in this video, just hold it there for a second. What you're going to notice here is that this wheel that he has here is he takes this lump of clay and he throws it on the wheel. Now this video doesn't show you, but actually this process may need to be repeated time and time again. Go ahead and play that and turn the volume up, brother, if you have that. This potter would take this clay, and you watch him as he takes it. It has audio if you have that. He takes this clay and he throws it right on the center of the wheel, because it's important. If the clay lands anywhere else outside of the center, it can never be used. You see, as long as your life is not in the center of his wheel, God, all it will ever become is a deformed vessel. But you've got to make sure your life lands not just anywhere, but you've got to have a desire to say, God, let me land in the center of your purpose and in the center of your will. Notice as he begins to use this vessel, you notice his hands begin to apply pressure to this great piece of clay. Now notice what he's doing with his fingers. It's not so much a work on the outside. But the potter says, I'm going to take my hands and I'm going to put it on the inside, because I'm not so concerned with what the outside looks like. I know if I get the inside right, the outside will take shape. Oh, glory to God. It's an outward and inward work that works on the outside. And he begins to take this clay and he begins to form it and form it and form it. And some of you look at that and say, I know what that's going to be, Brother Matt. I know exactly it's going to be a great flower pot. But then you let time go by and someone says, no, brother, you were wrong. It's actually going to be a great pitcher of water. That's exactly what he's building. And then time goes on and a purpose, and he begins to form more. And someone says, no, you were all wrong. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be a great vase. Let me tell you something, friends. There's only one person who knows what it's going to be. And it's not your mom and your dad and the pressures of your peers and your teens and your friends. There's only one person who knows, and that's God. And somebody may have looked at you and said, you'll never be nothing. You'll never amount to anything. But God says, don't let anybody tell you that. If you get in my will and on the center of my will, I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. Notice as it takes shape, and he begins to shape it and cut it, and the vessel's spinning around and around and around and around. Something that started so insignificant and so small, and it seemed like it would never be anything, and everybody else gave up on it and everybody else lost hope in it. But God said, I'll never lose hope in you. I'll never lose faith and confidence in you. I made you. I birthed you. I shaped you. And I've got a plan for you. And if you'll just walk in my footsteps and get on the center of my will, I'll make something out of your life. When everybody else says you'll never be nothing, I'll make you something. He begins to apply paint, color. And now something that started so small Now the potter says, my vision is complete. My purpose and my plan is complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our life. The musicians can just return. A vessel of clay. But I said this, friend, and I'll say it tonight as just before we close. You're just marred clay in the hand of the potter. As the Bible says, the vessel that he made was marred. You're born with problems. Born with, some of us, diseases, health problems. Some of us physical, some of us emotional, things that happen to us. But God says, I'm going to take all of those things. As the prophet says, you must master the thought of human ability. Yeah. That I've put those circumstances in your life because I made you a certain way. And I need to perfect that thing about you. That's a rough edge. I need to take my blade as I have you on my will and knock that rough edge off. Because if I can just get, that's why the Bible says, can the thing formed say to the thing that forms it, why did you make me like this? But he has a plan. And he has a purpose.
Amen.
Some of the greatest weapons, as we said, sometimes you can get to a place, as we've preached and said a lot of things here tonight. Sometimes you can get to a place where hardships have came and pressures have came in your life. And you say, I don't know why this has happened. I can't make sense of that. I mean, I've tried. I've looked at it. And even what's happening right now, Brother Matt, you don't even know what I'm going through and what I went through this week. And you don't know what's happening in my family. And oh, it's such a mess. Such chaos. Such problems. Friend, as I said, that's what me and you do well. We create problems really well. We're good at it. But there's a carpenter and there's a potter. And that carpenter knows how to take your mess and your problem that you've created and take his hammer and begin to rebuild. There's a time, as Solomon said, to tear down. And there's a time to break down. And there's a time to build back up. And sometimes we face things in our life, as we said, to where our greatest weapon that we have to fight the devil. You say, what's it going to be, Brother Matt? Is it going to be a great big stick? A great big Bible verse? Maybe a song the Lord's going to put upon my heart? Maybe some preacher's going to speak a great revelation and it's going to be great and that's going to be the answer and that's going to be the weapon I fight the devil with. Let me shock you tonight. Sometimes the greatest weapon God can put in your hand to face the enemy and the challenge that you face, the greatest weapon God gives you is your deep, deep weakness. An inability to do anything about it. This was the revelation and the message behind perfect strength revealed in perfect weakness. Because sometimes the greatest weapon you fight the devil with is when you say, Lord, I can't do it. I've tried and I'm done. I can't do it, Lord. And God says, child, that's the exact condition I was waiting for you to get into. That's the exact place. That's the exact confession I needed to hear. I needed to hear those words because now your perfect weakness, now my strength can be made known in your weakness.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 20, I love this scripture here. It's Jehoshaphat as he comes against this great army. Just turn there if you could quickly. Stand to your feet. I'll have you stand as you turn. I just wanted to close on this scripture to feel completed. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat finds himself in a great dilemma. And it says here that all these kings come up against him. And this is God's family, God's people. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared in verse 3. 2 Chronicles 23. 20 verse 3, Joshua feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah.
Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. I love this because he comes to church. He assembles the entire group and the entire family. Says, let's go to church. I know there's armies surrounding us and Moab has surrounded us. And there's great numbers and they outnumber us 10-1. But I know what we're going to do. We're going to go to church. The Bible says he assembles them in the congregation. And the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, now notice this prayer that he prays. He says, O Lord of our fathers. He says, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Sometimes it's a good thing to remind God. This is what Jehoshaphat's saying. Hey God, you are an awesome God. You are great, so that none is able to withstand thee, Lord. Remember, Lord, you're the one who opened the Red Sea. Remember, Lord, you're the one who made three Hebrew boys walk in the midst of a fiery furnace, who put Daniel in a lion's den when it was impossible. That's you, God. You're the same one. Remember, Lord. He says, art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants? And he says in verse 9, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house. In other words, this was a covenant. They're bringing God back to his own promise and his own word. You promise, Lord, that if trouble comes and if enemies come, we come to this house. And he says, if when evil comes, we come with sword of judgment. We stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou will hear and help. Amen. Let me tell you something, friends. They were in a dire strait. They had no ability of their own to fix the problem. There was nothing they could do. They had Moab and five kings coming against them. They had an army that outnumbered them 10-1. Jehoshaphat said, everyone looks to him. What are we going to do? I don't know. Hey guys, sorry, I'm out of answers because there's nothing left for us. But there's only one thing that we can do. Let's go to church. Let's remind God of how awesome he is. Let's remind God that he promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. Let's remind him that he who started a work will finish. Let's remind him that he said, greater is he that is in you than is in the world. Let's remind him of how awesome he is, that no devil in hell can stand before him. And he says, and he reminds him in verse 10, now behold the children of Ammon and of Moab. And he says in verse 13 and verse 12, he says, oh, our God, will thou not judge them? And notice what Jehoshaphat says, because like Hattie Wright said the right words. And God, Brother Branham said, when God heard those words, it moved the heart of God. Jehoshaphat's about to say the right word and it's about to move heaven. Jehoshaphat says in verse 12, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. You ever been there before? You ever been there before? Lord, I have no ability to fix this. I've tried and I've prayed, Lord, I give up. I can't do it anymore. I have no answer for this problem. But I love this. We have no might, neither know we what to do. He says in verse 12 at the end, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, friend, if you can just close your eyes and raise your hand tonight. And say that, Lord, I have no might against this great enemy, this company that's come up against me. And if I'd be honest, I don't know what to do. Oh, maybe you're here, brother. Maybe you're here, sister, and that's you tonight. And you say, Lord, that preacher knows and doesn't know what I'm praying right now. But this hand represents that great need that's in my life. And I'm praying to you, oh God, tonight, as Jehoshaphat did. I'm in church. I've given you your word. You did make a promise, Lord. And I'm here to confess, I have no might against this great company. And I don't know what to do. But Lord, my eyes are upon thee. Oh, can we do that tonight, friends? Can we turn our eyes upon Jesus?
The Bible says that he says that they gathered. Judah stood before the Lord with all their little ones and their wives. Notice, friends, this is a desperate situation. They bring all their children and their families. And they put their hand. I wonder if you do that here tonight. Put your hand over on that brother, that sister beside you. This is exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He took them all to church. And they took their little ones and their wives and their children. And they said, we're standing before church. We're going to rehearse to God how great you are. Though it looks impossible, we serve a God who is the God of the impossible. Though it looks hopeless, when there is no hope, there is hope in Christ. Though it looks like I'm not going to make it, yet God's word says I'm going to make it. When it looks like it's not going to be enough and I'm not going to have enough, he is Jehovah Jireh and his grace is sufficient for all of my needs. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer. He is my provider. We stand before this house and we bring our little ones and our family and our wives and we remind you of your word, O God, that you said you're nothing without me, child. If you just surrender to my will and to my purpose, I'll make something great out of your life. We're here to tell you, O God, we have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do. But here's our confidence that the same one who started a work is the same one who's going to finish the job. Because he who started the work, he is not just the author, but he is the finisher of my salvation. He put this desire to serve him in my heart. He's going to have to be the one who keeps me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, he came unto the Lord in the midst of the congregation and said, hearken you, all Judah and King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. I said, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. I said, the battle is not yours. It's not yours, friend. It's not your weakness, your own ability. It's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, tell the devil that tonight. Take your problem and say, the battle is not mine. The battle is not mine. The battle is not mine. It's God's. He is the captain of the host. He is the great warrior and the mighty conqueror in battle. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, the battle is not yours, not mine. The battle is the Lord's. All I've got to do is trust in Jesus, because it's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee. Oh yes, Lord, how I've proved you o'er and o'er. Oh God, as we think, how many times have you proven your word? How many times have you came through when it was impossible? Yet somehow you made a way and you made a stream in the desert. Lord, when there was a Red Sea, you raised it up and made a pathway for your children to walk through. How many times we've proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, precious Jesus. As the song says, oh, for grace to trust you more. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, sing it now. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon. Oh, yes, Lord. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. How I trust thee. How I prove you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Oh, for let's raise that up. Take that up a key, sister. Take that up if you could.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Oh yes,
just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His.
Oh, could you raise your hands and sing it now? Oh, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Thee, how I prove Thee o'er and o'er, Jesus, oh precious Jesus, oh for grace.
Oh, sing it again now. Jesus, Jesus,
oh Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Thee, how I prove You o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus.
Oh, for grace, oh, for grace, to trust Him more, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus,
how I trust Thee, Lord.
How I prove You o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Give Him a praise offering tonight if you could. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship Him just for a moment. Over and over He molds me and makes me. Do we know that? Into His likeness He fashions the clay. Are you glad that He doesn't give up? He doesn't throw you away. But He says, it's okay, child. We'll start over again. And we'll start over again. How many times, Lord? Again and again and again and again and again. Until You come to My plan and My purpose and My vision. We'll just keep starting over. I ain't going to give up on you. I ain't going to throw you away. I'm not going to kick you when you're down. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you grace when you need grace. I'm going to give you mercy because My mercy is new every single morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing this together.
Empty, empty and broken, I came back to You. A vessel not worthy, I was so scarred by sin. Oh, but You did not despair. You started over again. Oh, and I bless the day He didn't throw the clay away.
Over and over,
over,
oh, over and over,
He molds me and makes me into.
Oh, He fashions the clay.
The
about it, that I am
today, and it's all because Jesus,
He did it. Sister, let's take that up. That's too low. Oh, I want to get it right.
He is the potter, and I am the clay. a vessel and molded in His image.
As Hallie wants me to stay,
oh yes. But when I stumble, and I fall, and my vessel breaks, oh, He just picks up, hallelujah, all the pieces. He doesn't throw this clay away. Oh, over. Oh, yes, Lord. He holds me and makes me into. Oh, yes, Lord. He fashions. He fashions the clay. Oh, a vessel. Oh, yes, Lord, that I am today. And it's all because Jesus, He didn't throw. Oh, let's sing it one more time with our hands raised. Over and over. Oh, over. Oh, over and over. He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay. A vessel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today, and it's all because Jesus, He didn't throw. Oh, one more time. Over and over. Sing it now. And over. He molds me.
He fashions the clay. Oh, a vessel of honor I am today. And it's all because Jesus didn't throw. Amen. Have you enjoyed the word of the Lord tonight? Praise the Lord.
Brother Joel Brown is ready, I reckon, at this time to baptize. I think he's
his middle son or one of his sons tonight. He'll tell you about it. Let's just enjoy this part of the service
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Be in church, Brother Terry.
Amen.
Amen. It's an honor always to come to the house of the Lord, but even more so to have the opportunity to baptize anyone. And I'm of the belief and opinion that, as I mentioned it with Micah, this isn't just my son. This is also my brother in Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And I try to follow that even with my wife. She's not just my wife. She's my sister in Christ as well. And as we were back here talking just a moment ago, I was explaining to him about how the gift of the Holy Ghost is promised to come as a result of baptism, repentance baptism. And he was just saying of how, I was just telling him how that there's always that voice telling you to do something bad, but the Holy Ghost is there to lead you in the way that's right. And he had said, it's kind of sort of like tug of war. And I know when Brother Lance was here just a few services ago, and I guess it always is such with the children, there are skeptics and people who say, well, they're just a child. Why should you baptize them? And the prophet has told us that if they want to be baptized and something were to happen to them, that blood would be on your hand, my hand. And quite frankly, it's not up to the ministry to do the baptism. It's anybody to baptize. Dads, you can baptize your son, your daughter, your mom, whoever it is. You know, just want to do that very thing tonight with my little brother here. And if you want, just pray with me. Heavenly Father, we count it an honor and a joy. It's always been a time of mixed emotions for me, Father, when I bring someone to this spot. And I just ask, oh God, that you would just take this life and just use him in some way for the betterment of your kingdom. And Lord, he comes from stock and such that there's gifts in my life. There's gifts in his mother's life. But Lord, we can't give him those gifts. And many times people will take what they see and they'll try to, in a good way, Lord, speak things to the children. But Lord, if it's such that little Josiah is to be a singer, Lord, I want that to be submitted to you. I want it to come from you. If he's to carry your word and preach your word to your people, if time should carry on, Lord, I want that to be from you, not because of something that he's heard a well-meaning friend say. But Lord, may you take his little life, inspire him, put him on fire for you. If he's to be nothing more than just an old factory worker, or maybe get his lunchbox and go to the post office, or wherever it may be, Lord, standing on a scaffold somewhere one day with a hammer in his hand, Lord, may he ring that hammer true for you, O God. May he go in the things that he does, Father, in life. May it be all for your glory, all for your benefit. And Lord, I come. Lord, he's confessed his sins. Lord, and he's asked you into his little heart. I pray that you take away all fear, all concern. And what a mighty work you've done in his body, Father. Lord, this devil that's come against him, come against our family. Lord, as we were just talking there just a moment ago, Lord, the voices and things that he hears as a result of this epilepsy, Father. Lord, he was just saying they're getting less and less every day. And he hasn't mentioned them in a while. But Lord, I believe that you're going to use my son. I believe that you're going to use your little son, Lord, to bring forth such a tremendous victory, Lord, for the people of God. May it be so, Father. Every desire of the heart of every true man of God with his son, Lord, wants great things. But Lord, I just want him to be submitted to you in everything that he does. And then he will be great, Father. As he sets upon that great wheel of your will, Lord, may he spin and may he sing out your praises and may he submit completely, Lord, in his life, all that he does. We just commit him to you as we bury him in this old watery tomb. Lord, your promise is the gift of the Holy Ghost. May it be so, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Josiah, based on your confession and your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it's been good to have been in the house of God, isn't it? Look at somebody and tell them this. Let's come back tomorrow. We're going to have church again here in the morning, the Lord willing. You're all invited back. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart.
Give me that key. Give me
that key. Yes, over and over he molds me. God bless you. You're dismissed into his likeness. He fashions the clay. Oh, vessel of our it's all because didn't throw the clay away. Yes, now over and over he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashioned